I was wondering if there was.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the June 10th Board of Directors meeting for the Village Transportation District. The meeting is, let the record show, 6:01 p.m. All of my colleagues are here, so we have a quorum. And with that, we're going to move to agenda item number 2, which is approval of the agenda for my June 10th meeting. Happy to move the agenda?
Second.
All right, we have a motion by Director Ferris, seconded by Director Lauren. Any other comments on our agenda here this evening? Right, all in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstained? Motion carries forward. Thank you. We will now move to agenda item number 3, general public comments. General public comments are matters that are listed on the consent calendar or items that are not on the agenda but are within the purview of Guild YTD. And if we have any public comments or here in person, so welcome.
Thank you, Alan Hirsch. I'm asking that basically that we all be put on the record for accountability, including the public. I'm asking that public comments be added to the minutes of the meeting, and not just basically Joe Blow made a public comment. We used to have that in the previous executive director. Heather seems to have dropped that. I don't know why. I hope we will have that back. I agree that because I made a number of suggestions about the IA project in back in March of 2021 when you got the infra funds. And they were reported there. I couldn't be accessed that. I'm accountable for one of the comments I made there, just as you are accountable for your statements here. And I will submit here a list of observations I have to the future, but I made a number of complaints about the projects, and I'm accountable for those, and we should let the history will judge me, as they will judge you, and our children will judge us, and our grandchildren will judge us. Who was on the right side of history? Who made the right judgments here? So I'm asking that this be put in the written record, in the minutes, so we all are current. This brought up because basically there was a cartoon in the New Yorker about 4 weeks ago. I had a child coming up to father and mother in bed, and the little child said, I had a nightmare that you and Dad woke up on the wrong side of history. So we all make really difficult decisions. And they can't be taken back, and our progeny will judge us on them. So thank you very much for your hard work on the project. You know, I vehemently disagree. I think it'd be a bad mistake, and we'll see what happens in court to correct that error, in my opinion. But please put my observations on accountable, just as you have been with this project. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alan. Do you have any more in-person public comments? All right, seeing none, we'll close in person. Do we have any pre-recorded public comments or online public comments this evening?
I do not have any written comments, and I do not see any hands raised here on Zoom.
Okay. Thank you. So we will close agenda item number 3, public comments, and we're going to move for our motion to approve our consent calendar. Any of my colleagues have any items they'd like to pull from the consent calendar for discussion?
I'm in approval of this calendar.
Okay. Second. All right. We have a motion by Director Stollard and a second by Director Ferris to approve the consent calendar. Any further questions or comments on our consent calendar?
Sorry. Chair?
Yeah.
I apologize. Did we have opportunity for the public to speak on the consent calendar?
Yeah, it was general public comment.
Under general public comment. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, I stated that, right? Okay, thanks. Okay, so any other questions or concerns or comments
around the Mr. Chair, if I may, just for the benefit of our clerk, I want to acknowledge that Nancy Arch is here on behalf of Caltrans tonight. So, welcome, Nancy.
Thank you.
Welcome. Right, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Motion carries 5-0. Thank you. Okay, we are now on to our regular calendar. We have agenda item number 5, which is to hold a public hearing on revised draft budget for our fiscal year 24-25 and approve the resolution 2024-12 adopting the budget for fiscal year 24-25. And with that, we will turn to our staff team for a presentation. Welcome.
Good evening, board. So today we'll be covering the changes that we some of the cases that we discussed at the May draft meeting, and then go over some additional information that was requested during that meeting, and then Autumn will provide a summary on the logo and another meeting funding workshop. Okay, so next slide, please. So we'll be going over the changes. We'll also be covering some of the five-year outlooks, and then the additional information request on the board of the meeting, and then staff recommendations and budget resolutions. One more. All right. So this slide, the first slide, is showing the revision as compared to the May draft. As you can see, we went from a $2.1 million operating budget to now a $20.8 million operating budget. And you see the changes more significantly in the fixed route program. And this is where we had initially brought to the board in May that we were going to restore our additional trips for the Route 40 and 240 in Sacramento. And so we removed those additional trips from this June proposed budget, which had an overall impact of a decrease of $285,000. And then for microtransit and paratransit, we just had some minor adjustments because we went back and revisited projections based on the actuals that we had at the time. So the net change from the May to the June budget is $266,000. And the next slide, I'll go over what those changes were in the summary. So administrative budget, there were no changes there. Next slide, please. And then the fixed route,
And you're moving kind of quickly here. I don't even know where you are at the slide.
It's the other document.
Apologies.
That's all right.
Apologies, the slides are not numbered.
You guys know this. Not real cold to me, so I'm excited to help. Sorry.
No worries.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mom, if you could just go back one slide. So I talked in the first slide before this that there weren't any changes to the administrative budget, and this was what was provided at the May meeting. So this one just shows that there were none for administration.
Okay.
Next slide, please. And then for fixed route, what I mentioned earlier was removing the additional trips that we originally proposed in May, which had an impact of about $285,000, which was a decrease in the fixed route program. Next slide, please. And then for microtransit, as I said, we revisited the projections and then updated a few things based on the actual that we know at the time. So microtransit has a bit of an increase there of 11.3. Next slide. And then the same for paratransit, making additional adjustments. I believe this one was based on maybe insurance. So a slight increase there as well. Mm-hmm. Next slide. And then this provided in the draft report. This is just a high-level summary of what was changed on those specific routes, Route 40 and 240. So you see the additional trips that we eliminated in the yellow there, you see what we are proposing today. And then the change in green, which is a comparison from the May draft to the June. Okay. Any questions so far?
Bubbles, yeah.
Okay. Next slide. Right. Oops, there. All right, so this is a slide that we provided at the May meeting. I have little yellow boxes at the bottom because I know they look familiar to you. I just wanted to note what the change was on these slides. So because we adjusted the budget from May to June with the fixed route changes and the minor ones for microtransit and paratransit, I had to readjust the funding. So decrease in budget, decrease in revenue sources. So you're seeing that the same impact of the funding increasing by $266,000. Now for these, there was no change to fares, there was no change to the STA and LTF. and there was no change to a few of the other revenue sources. Whenever you have a change on the expenses, you have to balance the different funding sources, so you have some slight changes there. So you'll see most of those happening in probably the FY125 in addition to I'm looking at the number. FY25 and the CRISA one time plan. I also added this table below that just is a recap of showing how much is each one of those funding sources fund each program. So you'll see that by column, administration, fixed route, microtransit, paratransit. And so LPS funding and STA funding is right at the top, showing the representation of what that 41% is, and then the one-time funds, fares, and other revenues.
It's deducted or something. You have brackets around all the numbers of this chart. Why are they bracketed?
Yeah, in here it's just showing because when you have the expenses, it's positive numbers, and then the offset would be the revenue. So we just have negatives around. It doesn't have to be that way, but it came from a bigger calculation, so I just kind of peeled out that.
But they say all represent reductions?
No, they're just totals. So it's, you can have the revenues in positive numbers and the expenses in positive numbers. It's just more of a presentation. So the negatives don't mean anything. I mean, if you want to conceptualize it, you can look at the expenses and then deduct, you know, your revenues and arrive to a net balance.
It's a bit confusing to me as a lay person.
Okay. No, this helps make sense. It's an easy change. Any questions on this one? Next slide. So the next, we'll be going through the five-year outlook. So this will be a good place if you would like to ask questions about any of the slides ahead of the five-year outlook, or if you just want to jump right into it, you can.
I mean, yeah, once
you get it. Cool. Next slide, please. All right, so this five-year outlook was provided, I believe, a week before we published the board packet. This assumes the level of service that we are proposing today, which is the operating budget of $20.8 million, with an additional contribution to the general reserve of $393,000. Something new in the five-year outlook that wasn't in the previous years is the projection. So this is just another level of the projections that we wanted to add so that you can see and compare, so that you have the information to make your decision. And then the assumptions that we're making here for revenues, they're pushed in this slide, but you have the detail in the packet and the budget document itself. But for the most part, we are seeing a deficit not happen until the 2025-26, and that's that $351,000 where we have our funding solutions at the bottom. The most significant changes that you're seeing from this five-year outlook as compared to what was provided in the previous year is because we were more saturated at the time with unspent one-time COVID relief funds that we have discussed with the board. And so in this one, you're seeing an increased use of the annual allocations of FTA 5307 and 5311 funds that come to Woodring, Stack, and Davis. So that's how we were able to close the funding gap that you were first presented with in the prior year. We also have FY125 Cycle 1 funds that we were able to budget in the proposed budget for 24-25. We do have information about possible Cycle 2, but we did not make assumptions that we will have Cycle 2 money coming in the out years of this five-year outlook. And then and we also, thank you, we also don't assume additional use of unrestricted funds. That was also one of the potential funding gap solutions that was presented to you in the prior year. One note I want to make about the 5307 formula funds. I know that we would like to do more outreach and more discussion in the future about what these funds are, what they can be used for, and how we base our five-year outlook on these funds. And so with this, I actually added a little more detail to this five-year outlook. What you were presented with in the prior year had the 5307 money all pushed in one line. I broke it out by jurisdiction, which you see there, Davis, Woodlands, and Sacramento. I think this paints a better picture for us to understand how much the district would receive to provide operational assistance with those funds. So there was...
Where is that one?
We don't see that on our sheet.
It's on page 83 of your packet.
83? Do you have the budget for speaking with it?
Yeah, it's not on the slide because we want to try to make the slide somewhat reasonable.
I have a question.
Yeah.
You show no allocations on this slide for SB 125, but on page 83 you do show 1,690 and then 1,316.
Yeah, the slide itself, I have all the revenues squished into just one line item because I have done a clean talk about it to you in the packet.
It's in here somewhere.
Yeah, just refer to the agenda packet for the detail. It looks like this.
Yeah, I have that.
Yeah, so it has more of the detail on there.
When I see it's shown here with dashes in these spaces when we know the number, I don't understand why that is.
So I think, if I may, I think there are potentially two cycles of SB 125 funding. So the first cycle is squished into that total base revenue line. The second cycle is under the potential funding solutions. We're conservatively assuming that there is no second cycle, but if there is a second cycle, then it would show up under the potential funding solutions line.
So what are these numbers then over here in the detail?
What part are you looking at?
I'm looking at page 83. You have SB 125 formula-based capital program under revenues, and you're showing 1,690 in 2425 and 1,316 in 2526.
Correct.
Is that somewhere else in here? And that's why it's not on this line?
You're just looking at the slide, the slideshow on the document.
I have them both.
Yeah, so for the one that you're holding with your left hand, that's all the details. Just refer to that one. Yeah. And it was the one.
I think I might understand his question. There's two different, there's the base funding revenue.
Mm-hmm.
So we're making the base assumption.
Additional.
And then there's additional. Exactly.
So you're talking about additional potential.
Yeah. Potential funding.
So I'm going to walk through it. Sorry, that was kind of all over. So we'll start a little bit. So for the revenues, we are assuming the same allocation of FTA and LTF funds, with the jurisdictions retaining the same amount, which is approximately a 50-50 split. Tax Creek Mitigation Fund, that is the assumption based on this year, carried out in the 4 out years. And then SG and SGR, Fair Good Repair Fund, that is an allocation that we get on an annual basis. You see the assumption in there in the out years as well of $325,000. The fares stay relatively flat with a little bit of an increase if we have any increase in service. $1.3 million. Other fuel sales, advertising, fuel credits, and interest earnings are all in that 1.3, and then approximately 1.4 in the out years. UC Davis Causeway Connection Support, the allocation for 24-25 is $293,000. We carry that out in the out years. And then FTA funding 5311 for rural areas, which would be is our allocation is about $220,000. We carry that out for the next few years as well. and then the FTA 5307. This was the line that was all switched into one. I broke it out this year by Woodland Davis and Sacramento. So what you're seeing here first on Woodland is an increased use of those funds. Woodland UGA will receive about $3 million on an annual basis. So you see our increased use of those FTA funds will come to us every year. And then UGA Davis, there's approximately $6 million that gets allocated to the Davis 5307 UGA. The district has only been utilizing $150,000 of that for the past couple of years. So we are in discussion about revisiting that allocation, but we don't make any assumptions for that. We leave it flat at $150,000 per year. And then for the UGA Sacramento 5307 funds, we have a small allocation that we project for 23-24. And then we have an assumption of 126 use of the Sacramento UGA, which is a very small amount, but that's all we needed to use for this current year that we're proposing. And then the out years, you see a jump of funds that is a combination of our allocation for Sacramento 5307 UGA, in addition to funding that was allocated to us for previous years, including 23, 22, and 21, that were not spent. From what I can tell, we weren't using those funding sources across for Woodland, Davis, and Sacramento due to cutting our services in half after COVID, in addition to having one-time COVID relief funds. So that's where you see us picking up our utilization of those annual allocations.
It says to UGA Sacramento, it's not West Sacramento.
The 5307 UGA funds are for a large urbanized zone area, which is Sacramento. So West Sacramento gets allocated a portion of that, and then we get allocated about 3.5% of that.
So they don't have a direct allocation just for their city?
They don't.
That's not fair.
No, but these actually are our dollars.
Yeah.
So we get a percentage of it, and then Sacramento gets a percentage. Yuba, Sutter, and I believe Placer, they're all part of the Sacramento UGA.
Okay, thank you.
But just for clarity, I think it's helpful. Yes, it says that looks like investments in practical means, but the amounts that are listed here are specific to West Sacramento.
Yeah.
Just to be to be clear.
Thank you.
I actually on this. So this was the first time, right, that we got to see it a week ago, basically. And it would be helpful to know, and I think you know in there, it's roughly $1.2 million a year for West Sacramento. And I'll go to the math only because it looks like we've been using the $5307 for the other districts for the most part, understanding that you got around $400,000 or so that you're going to bump up. With Woodland, and it also comes like Davis, there's just another reader talking about. And so we've been not utilizing those $1.2 million a year on average for West Act. You said 22, 23, and 24, but actually, is it longer than that?
23, 22, and we still have funds from 2020.
Oh, okay, so it's 20, only for 2 years in order. So it's 21.
22, 23,
and also 24.
Okay. Yeah. And just to note on that, we're also not utilizing all of our Woodland UGA 5307. I actually fresh off the special approaching a reconciliation of that. So there is pretty much a pretty significant amount that we weren't using. We have been focused in the past couple of months since I arrived, weeks after I arrived, just on funds, just on brands, and just really getting a good, assessment of what do we have out there, because when I arrived, we had all of this one-time COVID relief money. We had these grants over here, we had competitive funding, we had, a number of funding sources that just wasn't clear enough to me to understand what I was working with and to update this five-year outlook for anyone. you know, we really needed to get our head around, well, what do we have? What are we working with? When do they lapse? Do we get the synergism? You know, so that's really what I've been focusing a lot of my time on. These numbers that you're seeing here is what I can get my arms around at this time. But this is a work in progress, and us just asking all the right questions, getting in touch with the right people, doing our reconciliation, and really understanding what do we have to work with. And the five-year outlook that you were provided with last year, they did assume an increased amount of 5307 UGA money. However, when I came on and looked at it, it was a basis number fund. And so that's kind of what prompted me even more to really dive into what we had and what was unspent and that we could still use in the future years. And that's what we're assuming in this conservatively in the five-year outlook. So it is a work in progress. Can't quote me on the exact dollars, but this is what I can lean on today.
So where do we, so I appreciate all of that, and I also appreciate breaking it out, because I think to your point, you were given a number, but that was just all together, right? So who would have known, like, that of that number, you see, basis part was 150,000, right, of that big old number. And wouldn't have known Woodland's part, or quite frankly, West Sacramento's part. Where I'm slightly challenged is, I think it would be helpful to understand that during this time, we haven't been going down those dollars, right? And so it's not like y'all have been stockpiling or something like that, mm-hmm. right? I understand that, but I think it would be helpful for the public to know that, too.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money, right, mm-hmm. that we've basically been leaving on the table mm-hmm. year after year after year, particularly as we're talking about route restoration, expansion, right, all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
It's challenging to know that those dollars were being left out there. So can you help us understand why
yeah.
you weren't pulling those down?
You know, and so, you know, as I mentioned earlier, what I can tell just because of the timing, and I think it's a combination of the timing of when we had an influx of one-time COVID relief funds, we also cut our services in half. So that influx of one-time COVID relief funds, if we continue to run our service 100%, it probably would have been spent as the internal expenses, right? But that's not what happened. We cut our services in half and then had an influx of COVID relief funding. From what I can tell, I think it's a combination of having a one-time COVID relief fund in addition to, I have to say, staff turnover.
Yeah.
So what happens with these allocations? They come in, we receive a split letter of the amount that the district is going to receive. It's not just, okay, now go get it. What we actually have to do is program that money. And so we have to put together an application to submit this into that trust. I don't want to get too much in the detail, but we have to submit a project and it has to be approved. That basically is saying like, we know that we got this allocation, this is what we're going to use it for, and then that gets that money into the system where we can actually submit claims and draw down on it. So the process of submitting projects to claim the, you know, the years that we have not that's what we will be doing. That's, you know, we'll be programming the funds that were allocated to us in the previous year. So like I said, I think it's a combination of things of just having an influx and being kind of snowed with additional funding that we just weren't used to having and having the services cut. So I can imagine at the time, you know, whoever was looking at this was like, okay, well, we better use these one-time COVID relief funds before we don't have them anymore. Because the 5307 funds, you can use over time. And so, you know, we didn't know what was going to happen with that. We only get 1 year to spend it, and if we're only running half our service, we're not incurring as we can't spend it fast enough, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's what happened.
So here's my follow-up question to that is that as we have talked about route restoration and expansion, at least the year I've been here, right, part of what has, at least I thought, been stopping us was also funding that too, right? And so in just 2 seconds. And so where I'm curious about is that again, we've used our CARES dollars for certain things, right? And there are certain freedoms that you have allowed for that. And then potentially we could have, instead of using CARES dollars, I think what you're saying is, hey, what's that? We didn't pull down your one-time money because you were using CARES dollars. And I have to admit, I'm curious, well, could we have actually been using these 5307s for some of these and then using the CARES dollars for something else?
So I just want to jump in, because one thing I think was missing from Chad's excellent summary, and she's right about all of it, but one thing she's missing is the driver shortage.
Mm-hmm.
So we cut our service in half,
yeah.
And we're going to get into the YoLogo summary in a minute. We cut our service in half. That was not meant to be that way forever. YoLogo said we're cutting our service in half temporarily, and then we're supposed to bring all of these things back. And what has happened is we have not been able to restore the services because of our driver shortage.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you over the last couple of years, when the CARES, CRISA, all those, the one-time funds, ARPA funds, there was no expiration date on when we got them. And then those expiration dates have come online and evolved over the intervening years. And so we were getting FTA saying, okay, now you need to spend these, and now you need to spend these, and now you need to spend these. And so we put a stop on going after other funding because we had to get rid of those dollars because it was taken away from us, frankly. And there is that our formula funds are not going to go away immediately. But the CARES money, the recovery money was political, and there was, you all sit on other boards where you've seen that some of those monies have been reallocated, right? And there's a need to spend them down quickly, otherwise it will go away. So.
Do we have a deadline for using up the remaining surplus?
For CARES, we were able to extend until the end of this year, until the end of June 2025. So I wanted to answer the question that you asked about could we have moved CARES money and some of the one-time relief money to other things if we were going down to 5307. So the way that, how I mentioned earlier, when we receive an allocation, we have the program in putting into a file to that cut. So the way that the CARES money, the one-time money was programmed, was to be used for operating assistance. And so we didn't have an amendment to the way that we program that money to use it like towards capital or anything else. So the way that it sits right now is that it can only be used for operating assistance until we can get an amendment approved to use it for funding.
So that was actually going to be my follow-up question, and then I'm going to defer to my chairman, let me finish this, and then I'll ask just some additional follow-up questions. But it sounds like actually we could submit an amendment for the CARES, and rather than not going after our $5307, right? And the reason why this comes up for me is, again, what we've talked about in the year I've been here is part of the not restoring / expanding has been not only our drivers, but I've heard a lot about our budget,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, a lot.
Yeah.
And so to your point, what we were shown last year, there's a deeper deficit than what we actually mm-hmm. see here today.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's amazing, by the way, that you are finding all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And so thank you. I know it's not easy. But it actually does sound like the CARES dollars could have been programmed differently because we could have submitted an amendment.
I got to jump in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, but sorry. The recovery dollars were for transit operations. It was debatable. There was a question. Some people were trying to use it for capital, but it was very much intended for operations. And it was not at all here, we just want to swap it out. Because it was meant to keep people employed and to keep buses running. And thinking back to when those bills were passed at the beginning of COVID.
So that's really helpful. So it sounds like the only place then, just looking at this, that those CARES dollars actually mostly needed to plug in, because again, we basically weren't using $1.2 million of West Sacramento's dollars since 2021.
Mm-hmm.
So are we saying the bulk of the CARES dollars got plugged in to West Sac routes and operations? And I say that only because we weren't using West Sac money. So I don't know how else to interpret it.
I can follow up with that information. It's a great question.
We weren't pulling down. I think what you're thinking,
because you know if we could have reprogrammed the money and used it somewhere else. Definitely a question that I've already asked FDA. But as far as, you know, just overall looking at the different types of funding, what they can be used for, when we can use them, how we program them, where we need to amend, and really just balancing local matches with federal matches, it really is something that we just need to roll our sleeves and, you know, get all our balances in place, understand what they can be used for, and just really strategically work it out and see what can be used on an optimal basis. So it's an exercise that needs to happen for sure. But we're in the era of figuring out what we have to use at this time and what we can expect in the future.
Sorry, I
thought
I was.
I think this is a very helpful conversation. It makes me think that it would be nice if we had a little tutorial at each on one of these sources of funding. What's the nature of the legislation that produced it? How it comes to us, what we have to do to get it, just so that we start to understand it. Because, you know, I come from the world of property taxes, sales taxes, cities, and tax transfer, DOT, you know. It's not in the street, cities are complicated too, but I see this as a unique animal, And so for us to be understanding these numbers and to make the judgment calls, we don't even know the calls that need to be made. I mean, it's all happening inside the staff, which is, it's going to have to happen. Mm-hmm. It would be better, I think, if we, as representatives on this board, were intimately familiar with the ins and outs of these different funding sources and how they can be used. That's fair.
So two quick things from me. And I'm sort of jumping ahead, but so one of the things we're proposing is in the budget resolution that's new this year is that we host a series of workshops, board workshops, one or more, to do exactly what you're talking about. I think this came up at the last board meeting, in particular around the SCA, the SCA and LCF funding and understanding some of those, how that has worked. But I think some of these, just to your point, you know, having more understanding of these sources of funding. So that's something that's in the resolution that we are happy to do and to start that, you know, whenever we're ready to do it, whenever you all are ready to do it. The one other thing I would just say is that we are all living through a very unique time in transit funding. I don't think much of anything has changed in transit funding for decades.
Mm-hmm.
And then COVID happened, right? And you have this, you know, the fiscal cliff for transit, and you have this statewide transit recovery task force. SB 125 didn't just give out one-time money. It put together a statewide task force to look at what is the long-term future of transit now that the world has changed with people working remotely, and how do we stabilize transit funding? So we are all living through an era of transition, and I think it's, you know, so we're learning, and we want to keep you involved in that learning process, but also just recognizing that the funding picture has changed radically just in the last year since we did the five-year outlook.
And please, if you will, don't be afraid of repetition. I'm one of those guys that usually hear it multiple times before it really sinks in. And the boards turn over anyway. People come. So I think it's constantly, it's just old. If you give a little effort to it periodically, I think it will be helpful.
I agree. I am happy to do that for you.
Thank you. Do you have more on this slide?
I wanted to make one more point about the five-year outlook. Again, I mentioned the deficit and the information that was given to the board last year. We were very into. So the assumptions that we made in last year's five-year outlook, if you guys recall, we had planned to restore a significant amount of service at the time. And so we weren't planning to restore that service until January of 2024. So in that first year, when we proposed the 2023-24 budget, it assumed restoring all those services for half of the year. In that five-year outlook, it assumed those restorations for the full year. So that's where you started to see that deficit kick out, was assuming the restoration of all the services that we proposed last year, and seeing them in the out years. And so that's what's also different between last year's 5-year outlook and this year's outlook, and the deficit that we're not seeing show up in 2024-25. So I just wanted to see that.
No, I think it was, do you have anything else for this?
No.
I see the next slide is on to something, so I'm on.
Yeah.
And that way, I can bring back to Dias and do any more questions from from my colleagues around here, so I'll turn it back to...
I don't.
Okay. I'll turn to my colleagues for clarifying questions before we go to public comment.
I actually want to clarify something similar to what you just said before we...
I just hear you to public comment. We have a lot more good pleasure stuff to present for the other
school. Yeah. Oh, I thought this was a good word. I can save all of my questions to the end. I don't have a problem with that. In regards to what you just said, I can write it down and we can come back to it. That works for me too.
Okay.
So I'm to my colleague. Do you want to just... How do we want to proceed? Are we okay with having Chad continue through the presentation, take notes, and then we can come back with questions at the end? That works? Okay, so we'll hold questions and let Chad go through the presentation. We'll make notes and then bring them to the dais. Thank you.
Thank you. Next slide, please, Mama. Okay. So this is a new slide that you're going to see. We're in the additional information section now. So this is a new slide that I prepared, and this was information because the question has come up about what the salary survey implementation impact was. And so in the first box in blue, you see what the impact was of salaries before the salary survey implementation, which ended up being about a 14% increase, and that includes pension. We had budgeted $245,000 for the implementation of changes that came from the benchmarking survey. And as a result, there was a $190,000 impact, resulting in a $55,000 savings. And then the next table shows the impact of the 4% COLA adjustment, which is approximately $60,654, with a net impact to our fund balance of $15,000. So I go back. Next slide, please. And this was additional information that was also requested by the board in May, which was to provide budget to actuals based on projections based on actuals. So this is also included by program in the staff report. This is just a summary of it. When looking at this, this is a budget versus actual. This is not a revenue over expense. So budget versus actual is what we thought we were going to do and what we estimate how we're going to end. Revenues over expenses is how we actually did, and if we had excess revenues over expenses. So this slide only shows budget to actual contrast.
I'm not sure I got that.
All right, and then this next slide, please. So this is a slide that you saw at the May meeting. And this is just a summary of the TDA funding, FTA and LTF, the amounts of percentages retained by the district and retained by the Village Transportation District for transit services. So nothing has changed on this slide. I just wanted to show that there was no change to the district. Next slide. And this is the slide you also saw at the May meeting. No changes happened here either. And that's my program.
All right. And so I'm going to take over and give one of the other pieces of information that was requested at last month's board meeting was an overview of YOLOGO, our Comprehensive Operations Assessment from 2021. Which is many of the service restorations that you see in our proposed budget stem from YOLOGO. And several board members were not a part of that process, wanted to share the background. And there's more detail in the packet, but I'll just quickly run through a few things. So the YOLOGO is a comprehensive assessment of YOLO city operations, including transit service, so not just transit service, but obviously transit services are being a big part of it. It was financially constrained, so service expansions were offset by cuts elsewhere. Next slide. So the timing of this, I put this timeline study because it's important. One of the questions that came up was, you know, what about COVID and how did the YOLO study address and think about COVID? So I wanted to share the timeline. So the first draft, the first complete draft was presented to the board in March of 2020, just before the pandemic began. It was scheduled to then come back to the board for final approval the following month. Of course, it did not. The board postponed approval of it and essentially sent the staff and consultant team back to go look at what COVID impact would be. And so we don't want to adopt the plans right now based on pre-COVID data. Obviously, the world is changing a lot. In May 2020, emergency service cuts were implemented by YOLO TV, and I think it was helpful that we had that first draft because that first draft did propose a lot of changes, including suspending about half of our routes. And so those routes that were recommended for suspension were suspended as part of COVID, and as well, every other route that we operate had service cuts. Primarily the early morning and late evening trips were all cut. And then the staff and consultant team spent the next year basically going back and doing a new data collection to look at how were people riding during COVID, and also doing another round of public outreach virtually, of course, to get a sense of how people's priorities for transit had changed with the pandemic. So in April 2021, the revised plan came back to the board for approval. It prioritized routes serving essential workers and transit-dependent populations that relied on transit to get to trips like medical appointments and grocery stores. It permanently discontinued 16 routes, and those discontinuations were offset by immediate restoration and expansion elsewhere, again, on those routes that were deemed to serve essential workers and transit-dependent populations. Next slide. So that was April 2021. The service changes were meant to then take place in September of 2021, which coincidentally was my first month on the job, and what a month it was. On September 1st, a new labor contract took place next door, and immediately 15% of the transit workforce walked out. And so we had an overnight driver shortage that halted the service restoration and forced additional cuts in service. So not only did we not bring back the trips we were planning, we actually had to do additional cuts. All of our remaining express routes were cut completely. At the time, that was billed as a temporary change, and that those express routes would come back as soon as we had sufficient drivers. We had TV cameras here. We had lots of press coverage. It was very exciting. And then from 2022 to 2024, as our driver situation has improved, we've had limited restoration and expansion to finally implement the changes that YOLOGO had recommended. So this is the status of all the YOLOGO changes. I know it's a lot of information, but essentially what you see is all the discontinued. These are all the routes that were permanently discontinued. Again, that happened at the beginning of COVID and they never came back. And then we have rolled out some of the changes are completed, like we now have 30-minute headways on our 42s during peak service. We now have B-Line in Woodland. So we've made some of the changes, but what you can see is we continue to have these incomplete, basically those early morning and late evening trips in West Sacramento, as well as all of the express routes that were cut. We brought back one trip a day on our express routes, but the YOLOGO recommended level was three trips. Three trips in the morning, three trips in the evening. Right now, we're at one trip in the morning and one trip in the evening for trips. Next slide. So this just shows you for the proposed transit service changes in this draft budget, what we have. We have the Route 40 and 240 in West Sacramento, bringing those back. We have the Route 43 and 230, bringing those back up to the levels that they were before our emergency cuts in September 21. And then other service changes that were not part of YOLOGO. One is bringing back the Route 44, which is the South Davis Express. This was one of the routes that was permanently discontinued in YOLOGO. However, the combination of removing Route 44 and then changing the 42 line where it goes, so it no longer goes to South Davis. You know, we had a pretty big backlash from residents of South Davis. At first, you said we're going to 44, and now you've taken away the 42. So this board had a conversation, I want to say, in March of 2023 about bringing that service back. And so that's what we have proposed here. And then similarly, the B line, we are proposing expanded service hours and a second vehicle in winter at night planning based on some of the feedback and board discussion we've had recently. But that would require separate board action. So this budget just creates the budget space for that to occur. But then in terms of a specific recommendation, that would come back to the board with details on kind of what the data tells us and exactly how much service we would want to expand and whether or not we need to, how much we would need a second vehicle. So I hope that provides a helpful summary of your logo. I'm happy to answer any more questions about that. The last thing then, there was another question I came up about the reliability of our ridership data. And I alluded to our Causeway Connection service as an interesting case study on that, but I didn't actually have it at my fingertips, so I just wanted to share that back with you all. Basically, what we know is that our current fare box method likely undercounts riders, particularly riders who ride for free, because there's no fare box interaction. It really just relies on the driver to not just see that they have, like, a student ID, but to actually press a button. So what we see is that for the Causeway Connection, which we jointly operate with SACRT, it's exactly the same service. They operate about 10% more service than we do, but they have 43% higher ridership on the trips that they do compared to the ridership that we report. And so what this graph just shows you is everything in blue are the trips that SACRT reports and everything in green are the yellow bus trips. And so we don't think we really have, their ridership is really 43% higher than ours. But it just goes to show you that when you use different methods, you get different results. And we do believe that there's a significant amount of undercounting that happens with our
new technology we just authorized to make this.
That's right. So the new technology we authorized will get us in line with what SACRT already has, which is automatic passenger count. Okay, and then so that's all for the summary of YOLOGO and our service. I just want to just quickly walk through our staff recommendation and resolution because there's a lot of pieces to it. I just want to make sure you all, you know, understand what it is we're asking you to do today. So our bylaws have certain budget process requirements. It requires that if there are written comments from city managers, they must be provided by May 30th and then shared with the board. We have not received any written comments from any of our city managers or county administrators. We have to have a
you reminded them of that requirement?
Yes.
Thank you.
We must have a properly noticed public hearing on the budget. We have done that. We have noticed this meeting, tonight's meeting, as our public hearing on the budget, and that notice was published appropriately in local newspapers. You have to adopt, the board must adopt at least a preliminary budget by June 30th. Today is your opportunity to do that. You could also adopt it as a final budget today if you're prepared to do that, but you must adopt the final budget by August 30th. So,
just on your point about the written comments from our city managers, when were they supposed to get the written comments by?
By May 30th.
By May 30th. Okay, but we just got the final budget on Friday.
Yeah, so they got the draft on April 30th, and so they have a month to make comments on the draft budget, which would then be incorporated into the final budget, which you received last week. So the idea is that we get it by May 30th and then we can incorporate any of those edits into the final draft.
In regards to timing, I think conceptually I think that makes sense. I think in functionally, and we've had this talk, I think there were a lot of changes that were made from that budget to this one that at least I know my city manager definitely has thoughts and comments on. I'm glad that.
Yeah, I would just say it's one thing to have a written requirement. It's another thing to have a collegial interaction. And I would prefer that you, as our executive director, have a collegial interaction with our managers and brief them on the budget and get their feedback so it's incorporated in the budget.
Yeah, so we do have a meeting with our technical advisory committee. That was on May 7th, and that the technical advisory committee does not actually include the city managers, but we did outreach to them to say we will schedule this at a time that works for you, so you can be there along with your staff representatives, which we do as public works or transportation staff. Several city managers did take us up on that, including the city managers of Woodland and West Sacramento, and so they were in attendance at that meeting where we reviewed the draft budget for their feedback, and that was summarized for you in the May draft that was presented to the board.
Thank you. Sorry. Mr. Chair, just a comment. Yeah, just to Director Collard's point around interactions with the managers of some of the different cities and the county, just want to say at least I can't speak to any of the conversations that Oz has had with the city managers, certainly, but we have an entire meeting with our county CAO, Lynn Autumn, when I first came to that meeting, about a week ago, in advance of this meeting to sort of, again, reflect the latest updates of the budget, and I thought that meeting was quite collegial, so I can't speak about any others, but just, you know, there's definitely, at least the county was consultant, certainly, and ample opportunities for county to provide input on this issue.
So my own feedback would be, I had an opportunity to meet with Autumn last week, and it was really helpful in getting an explanation, as well as last month. And when we met, definitely sure, but I would say that there actually wasn't an opportunity to make changes. And so then I gave feedback even a month ago. The response I got, right, was like, hey, we've already, like, these things have been set in motion. I don't even know if CAS can make these changes. And so it makes it difficult to have those meetings because, yes, there is a bi-directional communication happening, but then what can result from that is not a change in those things.
Mm-hmm. Although my understanding is that a lot has changed from the last budget, the sort of the draft to this.
Not the budget.
So, well, okay, so that, I mean, it might not be okay, but many items have changed between the seven just.
I actually don't know what has changed from the last May budget in which the changes that have been described were going to be made and then what happened here. Because the changes that have been described in my main meeting with Autumn that were going to be made were kept.
Would you like me to respond to that or finish the presentation?
Let's finish the presentation and address the concerns.
Okay, so this just kind of walks through what the proposed budget resolution would do. I know there's a lot of points on this slide, but I just want to make sure that they're all in there, and so I want to make sure that you know what you're voting on. So this affirms that a public hearing was held consistent with our bylaws. It adopts this draft budget as the final budget, but again, it could also be adopted as a preliminary budget if that is the board's desire. It does approve a 4% COLA increase. It amends the authorized position resolution, in this case, actually to just discontinue one temporary position. It makes a contribution to our general reserve, correct, consistent with board's adopted policy. It allows funds to be moved within budget categories, but not across budget categories. It carries forward unfinished projects that were started and authorized last year and for which we still have funding work remaining. It allows for flexible use of funding. It allows us to apply state transit funds to our projects. It requires us to make quarterly budget reports to you. And then the last one, which is the new one, is to hold special meetings on use of state transit funds and any other budget matters as the board directs to address this issue of wanting to make sure we have a clear understanding of how our funds are being spent. So with that staff recommendation, just to reiterate, it's to receive the revised draft budget. You've done that now to open the public hearing and receive testimony, and then to approve budget resolution 2412. If you do it in its current form, it would adopt this budget as its final budget, or you could amend it to make it a preliminary budget if you want to come back and do this again. Thank you.
Thank you, Autumn. Thank you, Chaz. So what we'll do is I'm going to bring back to the dais for any clarifying questions when we open the public hearing. And then we'll return it back for questions and dialogue. That works for my colleagues. Does that work? Okay. Do we have any clarifying questions before we open the public hearing? Okay. So with that, we will open the public hearing and welcome any public comments. Welcome,
Alan Grish. Impressed with the details of work here. A few comments on the side. I was struck on page 87 of the staff reported off in the presentation, slide 27, about the 43% potential discrepancy in the strong ridership count. I know it's not as big as that, we can't think, but it's disturbing that we don't know exactly how many people are riding the bus, and how much it's costing per rider and whatnot. I'm glad we're sticking on top of that, for moving that ahead, it's so important. So kudos for that, but I think you should add a 12th point that maybe prioritizes that on your budget amendment to basically quantify not just the ridership but also in the budget presentation for the ridership and the service hours and all the deliverables. So it's very easy to cut a budget, just cut services. So you want to maybe compare driving season business are moving to triple bottom line. Our bottom line is service delivery, so that should be part of the budget too. So we can see that we fall for it. If the budget goes over, we get more service, maybe that'll understand. So I would suggest that you add service delivery metrics on future budgets.
Okay.
because I know that was the intent, so I just remind you again, because repetition is important, as so as your piece of competing. On the five-year budget plan, I just want to point out at year five, we had the first amount of money from the from the VMT medication from IA that's coming through there, just flagging that there. I'm quite concerned that's $4 million, and Yolo Transportation District is only getting, two or one of the VMT mitigation plans. That money is not sustainable because we only have, that's $4 million out of, that's the one-time capital payment. And the question is, that's not sustainable because that's going to be a one-time payment, one-time buck. What's sustainable 3 years, 4 years, 5 years out? And we only have $9 million total revenue coming out of the tolls. But we have $20 or $30 million committed to do the VMT mitigation. And that, my listeners will think, I've been very concerned that we have not funded the VMT mitigation. So it's not the Texas budget, but I just want to flag that. We should be watching that every year. That's very important. And also, a suggestion on the five-year plan, you should list explicitly some of the assumptions like inflation, ridership, I'm the thing. This is a wonderful, thank you for doing the five-year plan. Everything's a work in progress. This is a great, great thing. Good progress. Autumn, you made a great hire with Chad.
Oh, I agree.
Thank you, Alan. Do you have any more public comment here in person? Not seeing any. Do we have any online or pre-recorded?
We do not have any here online or pre-recorded. Yeah.
Thank you. We'll close the public hearing. I will get back to the dais and my colleagues for questions dialogue. Would like to jump in and start.
Okay.
Start with Chuck Warren.
Just for the record, my city manager is totally fine with what we're doing and it's a good letter. But I was wanting to say thank you, Chess, for this incredible amount of work. We have already adopted new technology for accurate counts. I think that we don't need to do the suggestion, although I respect it. I think that we should really, acknowledge as a board that this staff changes of 2020 and COVID has led to many opportunities for us to do what we're doing today and the ongoing, I'm calling it opportunities, but it's still affecting us. It wasn't like the pandemic ended and then it's done. We're still adjusting to the pandemic and pandemic dollars. And I support the staff recommendation, and I think the COLA is reasonable. And that's all there is to say.
Thank you, Dr. Warren. I'd like to jump in and go next.
I'll go next. Director Paul, I think the presentation materials are excellent. We're starting to get into the nitty gritty, and I feel like it's awfully easy to kind of gloss over stuff and not get into it. And I think we have to be very discerning about what we're doing here. My manager is not happy about the 4% COLA. On top of the 40%. Thank you for that slide in particular. It made it very clear to us. And I realize the 40% relates back to last July 1. But my staff and I feel that the salary survey was not likely done, that it shouldn't have included Bay Area jurisdiction, just shouldn't have included RT, it should only include Valley transit operators like ourselves. And therefore, we feel it's on the high side. So I'd be happier if it COLA wasn't in there. It'd be the progress we made this year. Or the COLA was 2% perhaps in the center, but I feel like we've done pretty well this year for our staff.
Thank you, Dr. Sullivan. Do you matter, colleagues, have questions or comments?
Okay. I don't think so, because I don't want to know if I did that for last year. I'm good.
Okay, sure. Great. So thanks so much for all the work, firstly, the staff level on this item. My apologies again for missing a meeting last month, but got a chance to watch the tape, and it seems like a lively discussion. So a couple items, I think. One item I think that's important for us to take a look at prospectively is the the UVA Davis dollars, I think we need to have a written agreement with between either the City of Davis and Unitrans. It's mostly Unitrans, I think, in this case, and YTD. It's been basically handshake agreements. That's been the sort of the history around the worth of those dollars. So, I mean, that may have worked in the past. I think it now, moving forward, that should be a priority, that becomes an actual written agreement. Frankly, I think, if I'm not mistaken, the other UVA dollars as well have also mostly been just a sort of agreement, sort of a, I don't know, you know, handshake or otherwise. Is that not? I don't know.
No.
They're all written.
We don't have agreements with the jurisdictions on the 6307 UVA. Davis was the only unique thing that,
Well, we're the only authorized transit provider in the every UTA. There isn't, it's only in Unitrans, only in Davis where there's another authorized provider.
Correct, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that has been just an agreement. There's not been an actual, any sort of documented real, like, you know, contract.
Or not that we can find.
Okay, yeah. So that was the point that I just made to Patty. So whether or not the dollar amounts changed, I mean, I would think that hopefully that, you know, some greater share of those dollars could be used for YTD purposes, but that's something that also has to be negotiated. But I think that would make sense to have that at least on paper. So it's a discussion with Unitrans, the university. I mean, they're separate, obviously, one's run by ACA and administration, so I'm not sure exactly how that would work, but I do think that that's something that would be smart to do. And so I apologize that my mistaken that the other ones, though. The other written agreements would be the usage of UVA dollars from the other jurisdiction.
No, for the federal money, no one else will use those funds other than us.
Got it, okay. Yeah. My apologies over here. Thanks for my clarification, I appreciate it. I'm going to have one person raise the issue of the staff, or I guess Jesse raised it too, so two people raised the issue of the COLAs. I'll raise the issue of the COLAs. I think it's reasonable, 4%. We had a whole process around salaries and then salary surveying process. For the 23-24 salary increases, again, I'm talking about the COLA, $189,000. This is aside from the budgeted sort of money that was put aside, but that's, you know, 1% of the 23-24 budget is $192,000. So the $189,000 in COLA increases is just slightly less than 1% of the budget. I think in the coming 24-25 budget, it's again $212,000. It is 1% of the budget. So the 4% COLA is actually a little less than 0.5% of 1% of the budget, so $70,000. I mean, out of a $21+ million budget. So I feel like the 4% is reasonable. I think it's also reasonable. I mean, first of all, I talked to the Park County Administrator, feels the same. Also, many jurisdictions seem to be sort of in line with many jurisdictions are doing currently in terms of salary negotiations. Many jurisdictions are much more than 4%. I mean, I don't know how they're able to do that, but Yolo County is certainly not able to. So, 4% seems pretty reasonable with what other jurisdictions are doing as well. And then, let's see, sorry. I appreciated the suggestion on service delivery metrics as far as the budget resolution. I think that makes sense to add in. I mean, it's additional item. I think that, you know, there's that would, you know, I really appreciate the comments, but I think that could be a pretty easy, adjustment to the salary resolution, or the budget resolution, excuse me, in terms of sort of providing I know that automatic passenger counters are going to be, I think, a pretty large improvement, that process of improvement, certainly. But I do think that certain delivery metrics makes a lot of sense to add through the budget resolution for the purposes of the next year ahead. And then just lastly, really appreciate a good number of the items in the budget resolution itself, especially since we had some discussion earlier of the special meetings around and other, you know, various budget matters and such. But also there's a bunch of items that I think are really important and that have been very thoughtfully added to this year's resolution. So thanks for all your good work.
Thank you, girlfriend.
Awesome. Thank you. So a couple things. One, I'll work backwards. I too really appreciate the service delivery comments around building those into not only external budget, but also just where we're meeting ridership, where it's cost effective, where maybe we're not. And so I definitely think that is something that should be added to the budget, particularly in light of the fact that we're now going to have shelters, because ideally the information is going to be even more accurate, which is great. And so I want to also provide something for that. I too also appreciated the difference that we saw just in the counters. I think I've said something before, and Autumn mentioned it regarding using if we had fresh data before, was not meant as it being larger. It was meant just from as a data scientist myself, that currently the data is not accurate, right? And that's basically what the figure is indicating. No matter how we want to characterize it, I think we're actually saying that we know the data is inaccurate. So it makes it really difficult to make decisions on data that we're actually acknowledging is likely inaccurate. And so just something I want to call out. I also, again, want to just bring it back to what we talked about before regarding great interactions. Happy that we had opportunities to talk about the budget, but at least my conversations, with our staff did not result in us being able to change much about the budget based on those conversations and that feedback. I also want to flag for us that not one time did I say, hey, I want to see this without West Sacramento's expansions. And so I want to just call out that I was actually pretty disappointed that in response to me saying, hey, I want to make sure we're making data informed decisions, looking at a deficit, at that point what we had was last year's deficit, not what we were looking at in front of us. That in response to that, it was, let's take out West Sacramento's expansion, it was everything else then. And it's not one time did I say that. And so was fairly supportive of that, and I can share that with staff. I want to make sure, because again, I can't talk to you guys about these things outside of this meeting, and so I want to share with my colleagues that was very disappointing to me, particularly in light of then following being able to now look at these numbers. It actually looks like out of all the jurisdictions, West Sacramento has been spending on $1.2 million a year, and potentially there actually was dollars for expansion. And one of the things that I highlighted in our last meeting was, hey, if money wasn't an object, right, yes, you should expand and do all these things. And it turns out, in this case, money's not an object. And I didn't have that information. And so I was disappointed that I wasn't able to, one, make an informed decision even offline. And what I have in front of us is that West Sacramento, that only takes the L, but that West Sacramento actually is plugging in a good portion of our deficit with the $3 billion, but is the only one that did not get the expansion, despite the fact that that's not what I asked at all. So I wanted to make sure I shared that with my colleagues, because, again, we had an opportunity to talk about that other ad nauseum over the past month, but that was not something I had an opportunity to talk to my colleagues about. And so I will have a hard time supporting this budget as it is now, because, again, did not ask for what Sacramento's expansion to be taken out. I asked to see data-informed decisions. I asked to see what does it look like in total, because I was not looking at this from a West Sacramento perspective. I was looking at this as a YTD board member, and that at that time, we had a deficit the following year that we needed to really be mindful of. And that's not what we have happening right now. So again, challenge to support a budget that feels and lands like it's targeting West Sacramento, despite the fact that the dollars that haven't been spent have been in West Sacramento. And so from an equal standpoint, right, so from that point, as well as an equity standpoint, right, the district that probably needs transportation even more, we're not seeing that.
From my perspective, I did not get clear direction from this board coming out of the last board meeting. It was clear that there was a lot of different opinions about where this board stood with regard to restoring these services and expanding these services. I made the best call that I could make based on what I was hearing, that if certain jurisdictions don't believe we should be restoring or expanding service, which is what I heard,
given our financial situation, given the information that was presented at the time, then I would certainly did not want to be imposing those service restorations on Church because I did not want them. But at the same time, I was not hearing the same concerns from jurisdictions where we were proposing those service restorations and expansions. So I'm not sure what I should have done. I hear you that you don't like what I did do, but I did not get clear direction, and I tried my best to sort of read where this board was and put forward a revised proposal. Sounds like we didn't get it right, and I take responsibility for that. I'm definitely open to this. I would love to hear from this board if you want to make revisions to it and have us bring it back to you in July. We're more than happy to do that. I'm just not sure what exactly that compromise proposal would look like if not this.
Can I just say something just on that? Because I appreciate that you were faced with some difficult decisions. Again, I'm still new to this, just like Chris is going to understand what chat you are. And so I'm going to, again, only because transparency, there's no brown hat, but before cutting anything or even adding anything from West Sacramento, what I would appreciate would be just giving me a heads up. I wish we could have had a conversation about that, particularly in light of sitting on, something like $4 million that needed to be spent in West Sacramento. So in regards to just like, hey, what should I do, in the future, at least give me an opportunity, because by the time I got an opportunity, it was like, hey, I understand what you're saying, I empathize, right, I was in a tough situation, but there's nothing I can do about it. And so we were both in a situation where it's like, okay, well, okay.
Sure,
I'll turn to Jack Stoller and then Jack Warren. Yeah, I think this was really a good conversation. You know, we're all adults here. I think we're all caring people. We want to do transit. We want to do it economically and effectively. And, it's hard always to communicate exactly what you want. But I do want to respect what you mentioned. I asked for scenarios at the last meeting, and I heard, yes, we were getting scenarios. So I thought I'd see a budget that had options so that we could say yes to this or no to that. And we haven't gotten that tonight, but we have gotten a lot of good information tonight. And I'm very pleased about that. And I hope this is a trend that will continue so that we can make the best decisions because we have the best information. So, but we will move on one way or another, won't we? Thank you.
Dr. Moore?
I really appreciate your comments, Dante. I did walk away from the meeting last time thinking that you wanted your service reduced and mine. And I defended mine because I know the needs of my city. But I didn't defend yours because I don't know the needs of your city like you do. I'll just say that what I think I'm hearing is support for the staff recommendation to also include supporting the service delivery metrics and restoring the May WestSAC recommendation for service to replace June.
Yeah, I thank you so much, Jesse, for saying that. And I do think too, Director's point, it was a lively discussion. I think potentially there were some offline comments, or meetings, right, that, and one-on-ones that happened with them, which I think were helpful. But I also think it makes it challenging when maybe some of those conversations, which is why you can maybe be transparent about the conversations I'm having with staff here, because again, I'm not having those conversations with you all. And I think those discussions, including defending, right, like, hey, you know, winter needs these.
Yeah.
I think it's really helpful to have, again, here in this room. Yes, what you were also hearing is that not only should we restore, right, those restorations, but again, apparently we have millions of dollars that we can pay for it. And what's that coming up?
Yeah, thank you. Just a couple quick. I appreciated this back and forth too. I think that I just felt like Jesse, similar to what you were saying a minute ago, just the issue around approving the recommendation with the revised draft budget
I wouldn't say it's always the preliminary, but that's the way that the easiest way to go about doing this. You need to have something sort of taken action this evening. The proof is preliminary. You've got, you know, with some amendments to made clearly for the preliminary metrics. We still haven't had a full conversation, maybe, or maybe we have on COLAs. And then, but other than that, task staff with, you know, coming back with whether it ends up being as, you know, the sort of May version of including the service or if it's something different. I know there's been a desire to expand the VIA service as well. So I don't know what, you know, what it entails, but it's just having, again, preliminary budget approval tonight, coming back with for whether it's July or August, whatever it is, for some additional sort of options around the issues that have been raised this evening, especially if you need West Sacramento. Yeah. It seems like that will kind of answer, but yeah.
Sure.
I was just going to say, if that's the direction we're heading, yes, so you, as Director for Arts, you do have to have at least a preliminary budget approved by June 30th, so you would need to take some action tonight to prove that. We would not, I think we would table down the resolution, which has the approvals of all the final actions, and continue the public hearing then until July 8th. So if we do it to the time of day certain, we don't have to do the full pre-noticing. August, I believe we're dark, you know, may not have a meeting, so July 8th, my recommendation would be to go ahead and take an action. We report by minute order to preliminary, to approve the preliminary budget that's in the packet tonight, with the direction to continue the public hearing and return on July 8th at 6 p.m. For the final approval.
I hear you. Could we do a cell poll of who's willing to move it tonight? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to make some comments here as well. That's right.
Yes. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, so thank you. Thank you, folks, for all your comments. I don't mean that any.
It was fun.
Yeah, thank you.
Come on.
Thank you. I think part of it, and I appreciate Director Stallworth, you know, we have the same thing happening right now at SACOG with our blueprint of all these different scenarios. It definitely makes it a little bit easier to process through that. But recognizing that we have a very limited staff team to be able to do the work. And one of the pieces that I saw as we were processing through our agenda packet for today was the amount of work that changed from the last meeting to this meeting. And I can imagine how much that took out of you to do it. So if there's a way to get scenario in there, like I wouldn't expect that to be in there today, so that would have you work, you know, 15 hours a day for 6 days a week. So thank you for your work that you did on this. Regarding the COLAs, can you just remind me, when was the last time we provided a COLA increase to staff?
July 1st, 2022, and before that, it may have been more than 20 years.
Okay, so part of it for me for the COLA is that we didn't do a COLA adjustment at all last year.
Yeah.
And we all know and understand what's happened, I think, in our economy with inflation and other things that are happening. So for me, there is that. So there's been a line of kind of criticism around the 14% increase. But when I go back in the conversations I've had, and I would, again, not, you know, say that I've had multiple conversations with Autumn has had multiple conversations with Mike Webb, our city manager, and Davis around this budget. We've had a lot of back and forth on it, and we're supporting the budget that's before us here this evening, but I'm happy to move in with considerations and some other concerns I've heard here tonight. But through those conversations, there are folks, a number of people, maybe I should ask, are there people who are currently here who that 14% didn't adjust their salary at all? So we have employees who are here who are at the market rate and they've been here for a number of years or 1 year, whatever it may be, and they, their salary was not adjusted in the comp study, which is great. They were at market median or whatever, right? But they have not had any sort of adjustment in salary because they're there. So for me, that COLA, that they're getting, everyone's getting a 14% increase and they're getting a 4% COLA is not true.
Right. There are a number of positions that did not receive an adjustment as a result of the
program. Okay. Thank you. So I am supportive of the 4%, which was actually, I think, brought to our meeting by our subcommittee who did that work. So thank you for that. So that's kind of where I am on it. The B-line piece, can you clarify that? There was a line I know you said it, is it coming back for future conversation? What's the story?
Yeah, so what this does is this just creates the budget space so that we can come back to you with a detailed recommendation. As you may remember, when we implemented B-line, with the new app, I mean, it's been in winter and night planning for several years. We said we were going to come back to you with a 3-month update, 3 months worth of data, which we did in the month of March.
And then we were going to come back to you again with 6 months of updates. And 6 months worth of data would be the first time that you would propose any changes based on what we were seeing. And so that is slated to come before you in July or August. And so what this does, and just looking at the data we already have in terms of wait times, in terms of ridership, this creates the space for us to make a recommendation to you that we need an extra vehicle in winter between 7 and 9 a.m. We need 6-7 service hours in next Monday to 6:30 p.m. instead of 4:30 p.m. So, but that specific recommendation would be data informed and we come into this board, and it would also be subject to public hearing requirements before we would approve it.
So that's just the allocation that if we go that direction, if that money is set aside to do that, unless it's a back meeting amendment. Okay, perfect. Thank you. That's great. I just want to be sure I understood that piece. And then is there a number, I mean, we've had it, I believe, in the main budget for the restoration if we are, because it was just, a, I believe, on paper, sure, the two routes in West Sac that were moved, right, that were taken out. What is the budget impact to that? Because that's what we're going to kind of caught up on, aside from the service agreement, right? Mm-hmm. We have what that number is, and we need to come back.
Yeah, we have that reduction.
$200,000.
Oh, I thought $293,000. Well, the overall budget change from the May to June was about $285,000 with 265 being the fixed option.
Okay, so then, okay. Okay, so that would be the impact to the budget from there. Okay, great.
No, public commentary happens.
Thank you.
Okay.
We'll continue our meeting. Please stop disrupting the meeting.
Okay.
Jane, please stop disrupting the meeting. Thank you.
Okay.
The other piece I want to touch on, I think it's an interesting.
Are you sure? I want to let everybody know that why I'm here. Okay. And it's not Alan, it's not KDB's back, the working back. Yeah. I don't know how many, are you sharing warm? Then where's the KDB's back? From what's up? My classmate. I'm sharing warm. I'm KDB.
Okay.
Thank you. I will continue. So I think one of the interesting pieces about the dynamic that's here, and I'm on a couple of the regional boards, what you touched on earlier around the way that we, or us and then our staff interact with the staff here at YTD to build a budget. And not any other board I'm on, is there an expectation, right, that staff is going to meet with the executive director and then those changes are made, right, that then comes to the board. But it feels like that's what, I'm not saying specific to just this, but even the past budget we had, in conversations I've had kind of around the history of the board, that it was kind of always this, city managers were able to kind of get to the executive director and it'll be done that way, but then have these conversations, kind of lay out expectations because we're so tied together in transit funds. Right, the less that we take, the more that they get, right? And I think that's just in that relationship in and of itself. We all want the region of YTD to continue to provide the services, especially the most vulnerable populations. But then, as representatives of our city, we want those dollars to be able to pave our roads and expand our services. And I think it's this juxtaposition between wanting to have this level of transparency, which is really, really good, but then balancing that with the actual true overall needs of this organization. Because when we look at those deficits that were projected out last month, and you brought that point up, it's like, well, then where do those dollars come from? Well, they really come from the cities, right? And then the cities are like, oh, geez, I don't want to lose that money. But the reality is that the situation that we have isn't the normal situation for transit districts, right? I mean, that isn't how it's done. So I think I just want to recognize the fact that I think it puts bottom in a tough spot, and it puts your captain staff in a tough position, and it puts all of us, and then the people who we work with on a daily basis back at our cities or at the county in a difficult position to try and balance these needs, knowing that there are services to renters that, you know, we talked about last month and I support that are $800,000, but that's a population of people who have zero service, right? And that there's good that's in that, in my opinion, but it does have an impact. So it is recognizing that there's inherent conflict, I think, in how this process plays out. And I think in years after you and I talked about it briefly in our last meeting, was it just you know, how do you, like, approve just about the budget, right? And then you move on things forward. This is the conversation that needs to happen. I talked with Autumn about having these meetings, like having some sort of a budget workshop and doing a 5 or 6 or 7 year kind of long range plan so that we all have a better understanding of where this is and where it's going, what we're doing, because we're not approving a deficit budget if we move this forward tonight or in August, but knowing that that is coming up down the road, we have that time to get some of that work done. Because what we're seeing at SACOG as well as FACRT, right? There's a lot of those same conversations happening.
Sure, the only thing I would say to that, because I appreciate that, is, again, because I moved this board, and quite frankly, Director Warren, we heard it from you, right? Which is, what it appears I was saying was, I don't want expansions in Davis, I don't want expansions in Winter. And I wasn't thinking, I wasn't thinking from a perspective of, like, my jurisdiction with Sacramento. I wasn't even thinking from what's coming to us. I was literally looking at our entire budget. And so how it felt and how it landed was, hey, you're not wanting something to go to my jurisdiction. And I was saying, hi, guys, we're responsible for this entire budget together, right? And you're about to approve something in which there's a fiscal cliff in a year from now, right? It's something we should all be aware of. So the opposite, actually, was happening from my perspective. I was not thinking about what Sacramento. I had on my regional hat saying, hey, how can we afford to do this, right, just as a whole board? And so I do think you're right. We're going to need to have a moment in which, like, are we just going to think about our own jurisdiction? Because, again, that wasn't my approach our last meeting. Or are we thinking about our entire region? And I say that, and I've said this to Autumn very clearly as well, because in response to me talking about our entire region, West Sacramento was taken out. So my jurisdiction was taken out, even though I was talking about all of us. Because, Jeff, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I was saying, this entire region is going to hit a fiscal cliff. How are we going to do this?
Sure. Yeah, sure. First of all, I'm going to yield on the COLA, obviously, the sense of the board is otherwise. And that's okay. You know, it's my concern that the salary compensation in this organization be commensurate with what's happening in all our jurisdictions, and that's where the answer is at the moment. But I'm yielding on that point. And I'd like to get the preliminary budget adopted with the understanding that there's an opener on July 8th. To reconsider the West Sacramento draft. Would that make everybody happy?
Yeah.
And I'll make a motion to get that. If you accept it, happy.
I have a counter motion that we.
Let's get a second and then we'll. Yeah.
Not second. I think I'm a little off the clock.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We got first. Yeah.
Well,
Tom
made
a motion.
That
is, I just wanted to readopt the preliminary budget tonight with the understanding it was July 8th that there's an opener to reconsider the West Sacramento. That was it.
I didn't understand.
So staff recommendation with that additional.
Yeah.
Caveat.
But were you going to add the reporting of service delivery metrics to us?
Do we need, or do we have consensus around the service delivery metrics?
I definitely agree with them.
Yeah, we will need to do that to July. Thank you, Alan, for your flagging that. Yes.
Can I weigh in on the service delivery metrics? So this is something that we talked about at the last meeting. It's actually something that we're going to work plan for this year, but because we're going to be getting APTs, which is going to give us an entirely different set of data, we actually moved it to a future year priority so that you didn't have to do it once and then redo it once on one of the new sources of data. So you heard that comment at the last time, and that was my recommendation. But just because it just creates additional work for staff to come up with new metrics, one set of metrics based on the data we have,
it's going
to
change, right?
And then they're going to change. Exactly. So I'm happy to do it if it's the board's direction, but that's what's in the, if you look in what's in the work plan, that's one of the things we added is the future year priorities, and it includes that piece.
I understand my comment and support Tom's motion. Can I just ask just a follow-up question on that, only because I know we've been talking about this contract coming here for the entire time I've been here. Are we talking, because I have to do things, this is important, if that's something my staff has raised up as well, and I also just think it's just good governance in light of the clip of notes coming So do we have it? Like, are we sure it's going to start in December? Because that's kind of what I got y'all to say last time.
So Daniel, I'm not going to make Daniel pass the board, but I will tell you that he gave us an update just this morning.
Okay.
That we are going to be starting installation on June 24th.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it is happening. We have the equipment. The installation is happening. But it's a challenge because we have to take those vehicles out of service to install the equipment. We have to get it installed on all of it. We have to calibrate all of it. It is a process. So, you know, and it's not just with any more accurate data. It's going to be, we don't have stop level data right now. We don't know how many people are boarding and alighting at each stop. So, like, we can do one set of metrics, which is just how many people are riding this route. But it's going to be a whole other level of what kind of metrics we can do when we actually have stop level data, right? We understand how many people are traveling between MU and downtown Woodlands, for example, right? And so, again, like, we're happy to do it, just with that caveat that there's going to be a whole different world of data once we have them installed. So if you would have a general, just, it would be helpful, just so that I'm really clear on what we, if we weren't to do it now, we could expect it at some point in time. What would be the general expectation that we think we have to put incorporated?
So we do have it in our work plan, which is our next agenda item.
Awesome.
And so our 6-month goal is that the APCs are delivered and installed, so that's December. And then that our staff, Daniel, are trained in how to use and maintain the equipment. And then our 1-year goal complete by next June is to have a data dashboard set up to allow our data to be managed, analyzed, and visualized.
Awesome. Okay, thank you very much for
that. I think there's a little bit of that idea
for folks. I think you're
going to be able to do more of this year.
So, just so I'm clear before we move to that. So, what we're passing preliminary budget that's...
I'm really sorry. My teacher is about to die. I'm giving my child a report.
Okay.
I'm so sorry.
Is it this? Oh, the lawyer can tell us if we're accurate.
I just want to make sure I clearly understand what's coming back to us, what decision point is coming back to us on July 8th.
Well, and I think we're going to be clear that my understanding of Director Salary's motion is that the approval of staff recommendation, which is final approval of the budget, but also the resolution of 0.4-8.
Should be, because I think you get the spirit of what we're trying to accomplish here. And so would the friendly amendment be that it was staff recommendation, however preliminary, not final?
Right, to adopt the preliminary adoption of the budget, to need a public hearing to approve the final budget for July 8th at the fiscal end meeting, so we would not move the resolution today. We can just bring that back to do that, because that has all the final actions tied to the final budget.
Right. So what, I'm just going to charge you, I guess, to Autumn and you and my colleagues. The information, I guess maybe there's not consensus up here on whether or not staff should be added back in. We have the data on the dollar amount of what it's going to cost us to do it.
I was going the same way. Can we just adopt the main draft as the budget tonight? Like, do we need to come back in July?
That's fine.
That's what I thought.
But if this is approved, if the final budget is approved, the staff recommendations to many, then this item does not come back to us again in July.
But it's over. We need it to come back to us in July so we can actually see the West Sacramento restoration. I would like to see the West Sacramento restoration in the budget.
Right, which is the main budget.
Which is the main budget, separate from the five-year outlook, right?
Yeah.
Right, so it's the only thing that would be missing is missing the five-year outlook would have to be updated, because you don't have that. So if you want that information before voting on this, then we can bring it back to you in July with an updated five-year outlook.
Okay, I'm looking at you. I know a lot of wizardry went into this budget, and so I just want to make sure, is there anything we might be missing that's like under the hood if we adopt the main one?
It's just the $20,000 change that happened between the transit and microtransit. That's the only difference.
Okay. How comfortable are y'all with us not being included in that? Because if you adopted the main, if you adopted the merge budget,
$20,000, I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah, we can figure it out.
Why don't I turn to my colleagues and see what their sense of being comfortable with it on this?
I'm fine with it. If we want to adopt the final budget, that's fine. I mean, or maybe based on, you know, the main draft, main budget, yes, that'd be fine.
Yeah. So you will see a change on the 5-year outlook, which will be that impact from the $265,000 being put back into the 5-year outlook assumption. But,
so before we do that, I'm going to turn to Director Stollard or Director Moran to see if they have, if they would prefer to.
I didn't think there was any harm in going to the preliminary budget to the open in July, but then I see that.
Okay, no, I was just trying to make sure I answered my company. Very quick process question. It was just, I mean, the budget for tonight is this draft budget of, as we'll say, as of June. The budget before tonight is not the draft budget as of May. I mean, I know there's some certain stuff, but I still it shouldn't be action be taken on this item before as opposed to something that was at a meeting that a month ago.
Yeah, so that's what we're talking about. You can make some changes. I think the problem is now we're making some of the edits and others in May, which is published and made available publicly.
Perfect. So let's go with the original. I wasn't trying to start something. I just was trying to make sure I was clear on what was coming back.
Yeah, so it sounds like the action would be to preliminarily approve the May budget and that was presented to the board in May and return for final approval in July. Otherwise, there's one. I think you could use that way, or you could preliminary approve this budget. But okay, changing it seems like it's only preliminary, so you're all good. Either way, as long as it's preliminary approved budget,
So the motion from Director Stollard, seconded by Director Moran, was good to a preliminary approve this budget that's before us this evening as a preliminary budget, and come back to us on July 8th for approval of the budget with the addition of the restoration of West Sacramento and an updated 5-year outlook. That would then be in that budget that we approve on the 8th.
Is that
That's the correct, looks like, did you do that motion?
That makes sense. And just to clarify for our secretary, the board secretary, then that we, hopefully you caught that. Are we good for the minutes on the action?
Yes. What I understand, and have included for the minutes, is the motion by Director Stollard and the second by Director Moran is adopting the preliminary budget as presented tonight, with continuance of the public hearing to July 8 at 6 p.m. so that the addition of the West Sac restorations are included with the 5-year outlook.
Perfect.
That sounds right to our first and second?
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions? My comments. All right. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? All right. Motion carries 5-0.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, so we will now move to agenda item number 6, which is approve the work plan for fiscal year 24-25. We'll turn to
thank you very much, Mr. Chair. With my power cord. So I also just want to thank the board for working through those issues. I think we landed in a good place with the budget. So I appreciate all of the work that you all have done, as well as the work that Chaz really has done over the last month to get us through. So as you recall, the work plan is a corollary document to the budget. It says how we're going to spend our time over this year and is meant to mirror it. So the changes from the May draft, and unfortunately, I think now we may have to change this one again because we're now going back to the May draft on the budget. So we removed restoration of morning evening trip from Route 40 and 240 in West Sacramento, again, consistent with the budget. So we would want to put those back in if that is the rule of the board. We added a new project to host a board workshop or series of workshops on the OOCD budget, again, consistent with what's in the budget resolution. We clarified that our marketing campaign starting each day, this is consistent with Route 42 AP and the Causeway Connection, which was the feedback we reviewed last time. And we added a section on future year priorities. So I'm not going to go back through everything, but I did just want to highlight the future year priorities because this is, and this was not intended to be comprehensive, everything we're going to do in future years. This is just things that we know are coming fast on the heels of and are somewhat urgent, but they're just not making it into this year's work plan, and they're big ones. So the first one is that our transit operations contract with Transdev is close to the end of its life. So we are going to have to go out to bid for a new contract. We've had our current contract since 2018. So that's a long time. And there is it's a major process to come up with a new contract for a new operator. As well, our software contract for our for paratransit and microtransit, so that's our RISO contract, is also going to be coming up for renewal. So there's going to be a lot of work to for sure those two new contracts in that time frame. We also, this is something we've been wanting to do for a few years now, and we kept kicking the can down the road, is to do a 5-year strategic plan for the agency with a particular focus on the purpose, goals, and roles of our multimodal program, which is still fairly new. Up until a few years ago, we were really only doing transit operations and planning, but with YOLO 80 and taking on YOLO Commute, our YOLO Active Transportation, bike corridors project, we're really kind of branching into a lot of new areas, and we don't have a strong plan for what is it we're trying to accomplish with that program. So we're hoping that we can focus on that next year. we also want to, contactless payments. This is where you can tap with your credit card to pay. We are working with our regional partners on implementing that. That's also on Daniel's plate. So it's moving slowly. It is funded. But we're not doing that in isolation, so we have to work at the pace of our partners. But that is still very much in the work plan so that folks know that that hasn't gone away. We want to update our website to make it more smartphone friendly. We want to establish KPIs. This is just what we were talking about, based on data from automatic passenger counters. So that's where we want to have those KPIs so that we're monitoring what are we actually getting for our money. And then the YOLO 80 DMT mitigation, there's a whole lot of implementation planning that needs to happen for those funds. And so that all is going to happen, we think, not this year, but the following year, so that we're ready to receive those dollars and implement those DMT mitigation projects. And that concludes my presentation on the work plan. Happy to answer the questions.
Okay, any clarifying questions from my colleagues before we open public comment? All right, seeing none, we'll open public comment. Not seeing anybody in the room, we will turn to our clerk. Is anybody online for public comment?
We do not have any hands raised.
Right? All right, so we will close public comment, and I'll turn to my colleague from DIAS for conversation action.
No comment.
In that regard to our contract with, is it paratransit or is it
transit? Transit,
thank you. In regards to that, remind me again, is it a 2-year list for how long were we in contract with them?
The contract was 2018. I believe there was seven base years and then a couple option years.
Okay.
So this coming year is our last base year.
Got it. And then we'll go into option years.
Correct. So we could continue the contract for several years after that, but we want to start that process as soon as possible because they also will have the option of walking away once we get into option.
Got it. And so when, and again, this for both of you guys, and I just don't know if there's any written knowledge.
Yeah.
Do we have options outside of Transdev? And I ask only because we're going through this, right? And what's up with our market transit?
Yeah, we had 3 bidders on our last contract I have with you. It was in addition to Transit, it was First Transit, which has now been absorbed by and has merged. So they are now one. Transit and First Transit are now one agency. And interestingly, SACRT was the 3rd bidder.
Interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's helpful. Thank you.
That is interesting. Thank you. After you merged with them.
Okay, any other questions or comments for our staff? If not, we can entertain a motion for staff recommendation to approve the work plan for fiscal year 24-25.
And I would just highlight, while this is not as consequential as the budget, obviously, if we did want to put the West Tech service restorations in there, that should follow the motion, which should probably be amended to include that.
Oh, right.
I would make a motion to approve staff recommendation except where it says remove restoration of morning evening trips, it would be to include.
Second. So okay. Motion by Director Warren, second by Director Scholar. My only question, we're adding, approving this in when we haven't approved the restoration of the budget that's coming before the 8th.
Yeah, so we could also continue this until next month. If the board we're going to be a long meeting next month.
I'm not trying to put hair, but we're going to approve something tonight that we haven't approved yet, right?
You're absolutely correct. Yeah. But it doesn't matter.
So I'll turn to my colleagues. We have a motion and a second.
Let's do something great. Let's approve this in the motion, and we'll just catch up with it in July 8th.
You could also just direct staff to update it appropriately based on what happens with the budget right now.
That's perfect. Does that work?
Yes.
Agree.
Okay.
Yes. Agree
to update.
Okay. So we have a motion on the floor by Director Scholar, second by Director Lauren.
The other way around.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. And you have what you need from us?
Yes. We'll check with our...
Norma, did you catch that?
I believe I caught that. So the motion is to approve directing staff to update appropriately based to be in accordance with the budget approval and block.
Perfect.
All right.
Okay.
Any
other questions from my colleagues? Mm-hmm. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain. All right. Motion carries 5-0. Thank you. We are now going to move to agenda item number 7, administrative reports. We will turn to any of my fellow board members have any verbal reports for this month. Okay. Seeing none, I will
quick item which is just around the Ruben Transit Center. Just put it out there. I was at the meeting, the last city Ruben County WLO 2x2, because I don't serve on that body, but two of my colleagues do. And so I was not there, and I don't know if it's being recorded or not, but it's just the release minutes or something. But the short version is that a couple of members of the Board of Supervisors have some challenges with questions around this sort of moving of the building and the transit center from sort of county fair mall space and downtown building. So I know staff is engaging with various members of the Board of Supervisors to sort of have discussion about it. I think the city of Woodland also is having a facilities in this involved in those exact same discussions. So Director Stoller may know something more about that, I'm not sure. But I just wanted to raise that. So I know that there's like plans including even in this item we just had before us around certain priorities the year ahead, but there's definitely to sort of I appreciate staff's work basically in engaging with folks and sort of a larger stakeholder set around this particular issue. I certainly, we all talk about it, of course, like supportive of the direction and all the reasons why. I think others are not meeting this monthly or engaging with our staff on a more regular basis, so maybe not have exactly all the information and all the good reasons as to why a change is needed. But I know that staff is working to sort of engage with many more stakeholders around this issue. Just want to raise that as a discussion.
Thank you, Director Burns. Any other board member verbal reports for this month? We will move to transit verbal report.
I believe we have Michael on Zoom.
Yes, I'm here. Good evening.
Good evening.
Hi, camera on? Okay. I was saying I could turn my camera on. Okay. Anyways, good evening, Chair Chapman and directors. I'm glad to report that recruitment and training has been going very well. We had set a goal for 80 operators by the end of June. And right now, our projection is looking, we're going to be right there. So right now, with already what we have coming through training, we're full with behind the wheel training out in the yard. We have two classroom trainings, one between permit training and operator development programs. So we're very busy, and we're right on track for what our goal is set. Any questions?
Thank you, Michael. Do you have any questions for my colleagues from Michael? Not hearing any, Michael. Thank you.
No, thank you.
Right, we'll now turn to the Executive Director's Report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So our keen observers may have noticed that we had originally put on the long-range calendar that we'd be talking about the Yolo Lady Manage Lanes Cooperative Agreement tonight. This has been postponed to July. What this would do is if we would ask the board to approve a cooperative agreement between YLOTD and Caltrans for us to essentially authorize them to spend the infra funds that we won from the federal government to begin construction. That action has been delayed because we are still having back and forth with Caltrans regarding the details of that legal agreement. It really can't go much beyond July, so we're pretty confident it's going to be coming to you in July. In addition, and another Yolo AD item that will be coming to you in July is a new procurement for tolling advisory services, both technical and legal advisory, to comply with federal requirements. The original procurement that we did put out does not comply with federal requirements, and so we need to do it again. So we'll be bringing that procurement back to you to continue the work, because while we've hit some very major milestones for Yolo, there's still a lot more work to do. We just have a little bit more time to do it now. I do want to note that two CEQA lawsuits have been filed against the project, one from our local Sierra Club chapter and ECOS, the Environmental Council of Sacramento, and one from the Natural Resources Defense Council and the Center for Biological Diversity. We are not named in either of those suits. Those are suits against Caltrans over the adequacy of the environmental impact report, and particularly around DMT mitigation and whether or not there was adequate DMT mitigation included in the EIR. As one of the first projects to implement the new DMT law, there are some interesting questions that have been raised. And we are continuing to coordinate with CARTA and our CARTA partners at State College and Caltrans on the many activities that need to take place to continue to move the project forward. On staffing, we have 4 vacant positions right now, one of which is being advertised, the other 3. So the senior transportation planner is out on the street, a clerk of the board, executive assistant, our information technology specialist, and finance associate. All of those should be posted in the next few months. We are working on making sure we have we're taking the opportunity to make sure we have the right job description. Some of those have been different people and one of them for a very long time. And so we want to make sure that we have the right job description going forward. So we're taking some time to get that right. Next week, we have open houses in Davis and West Sacramento, and the following week in Woodland for 2 projects, our short range transit plan and our Yolo Active Transportation Corridor or YATSE project. So we'll be inviting the public to come and participate and attend those workshops and tell us what they think about their needs for bicycling, walking, as well as transit. And then lastly, the Woodland Transit Center was noted. I will just note that we have received some of the preliminary results from our engineering study, that we wanted to make sure that the preliminary location we've identified in downtown Woodland was feasible from an engineering perspective, and we have good news on that front. That it looks like it is. We don't see any major flaws with the routing and the location. So that work is continuing. We'll be bringing that back to the board in several months. But as Director Kirk mentioned, we are also concurrently meeting with our folks at Yolo County to make sure we address the concerns that they have and just make sure they have information regarding that project. And that concludes my report.
Thank you. Any questions for our staff before you open public comment?
I'll wait for public comment.
All right, we will open public comment. Not seeing anybody in the room. I'll turn to our clerk to see if we have any online hands or other public comment there.
We do not have any hands raised or any other public comment.
Thank you. So close public comment, and I'll turn to Director.
I just have a couple questions. One, in regards to the 4 positions that are open, just from a recruiting standpoint, because I know right now it's just really hard to recruit. I'm just curious how long those 4 positions have been open, and then what's the general plan outside of just like posting them on Indeed to make sure y'all get the correct folks?
So for the first one, the clerk's board, that position has been vacant since early May. The executive assistant, the clerk of the board, the finance and HR associate has not been filled for 2 years.
Have you been trying to fill it for 2 years, or you just never posted it?
I think it's just one year. Isn't it funny? It just created the last year's budget.
2023-24. That's just 1 year.
Correction. 1 year.
Okay.
And
it's been posted for 1 year?
No, we haven't.
Okay.
So when I came on, I was reevaluating. And then for the IT specialist, that position has been vacant since April.
Okay.
And then the senior transportation planner has been posted for about 2 months, and they actually do have a good pool of candidates, and they're having 3 interviews coming up next week. So that one is in okay shape now.
Okay.
So depending on the type of position, overall we advertise in a number of places, including NeoGov, we just recently started doing that. We weren't doing that in the past. We have it being pushed on LinkedIn. We also have it on Indeed. and a few other places. We're also pushing the jobs out to the local jurisdiction HR, in addition to a couple of other places where
we have some industry-specific ones, like the corporation, the association.
Okay, so you guys, it sounds like are fairly confident that you won't be short-staffed for that much longer. I think that's really, I mean, four positions for your training team, that's a lot of positions that are open. So that's the only thing you're hearing me. Is there anything that you need from us on that?
Maybe we'll follow up on that.
I will note that on the consent calendar, you approved our temporary clerking services so that we can keep Norma around. And we also are poised to hire a temporary kind of front desk person, kind of that finance and HR associate for the time being to help us as a stopgap. So I think that those help immensely. And also just having really hardworking, dedicated staff like these two who are currently doing multiple people's jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But I would love to not burn you out.
Agreed.
Okay. I mean, that's been a lot. So great. On LinkedIn, feel free to tag me. I won't volunteer my colleagues. But if you tag me, then I can. I know that can be really, really helpful. And so, and we all have, because quite frankly, we're elected, extensive networks, which you should utilize. And then now I'm going to move my second question to the next subject. Is your West Sacramento, it sounds like you're calling it an open house. Would love to know how it's been advertised in West Sacramento. Is there a partner you're working with to make sure it's out there?
I can't speak to details. I have not been involved, unfortunately. So Brenda Lomeli on our staff has been the lead on that. So I can get back to you more information.
Could you, and only because it's going to be next week, fairly shortly.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I ask is, thus far on these county positions that set on, when things happen in West Sacramento, I'm always disappointed about what comes out of them, and it's because typically there's low turnout, and I think it's because of the outreach. Does it happen with the right folks that it needs to? And so would love for you to actually utilize us, because what I would hate to happen is you do your open house, no one comes, you're like, they don't have any needs, which is not true. and then lastly, what I would also say to you is inviting you to our Juneteenth event, which is actually this Friday. You could, if you wanted to, set up a table to elicit some of these feedback. Right now we have over 200 RCCs already from our community, and probably will be more. And so I think it's an easy place for you to come park and very quickly engage the public. And what's that?
Great, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Any other questions for our team before we adjourn? Right. Team is very adjourned. Thank you.
Please note for the record, the meeting has adjourned at 8:03 p.m.
You can think of that one.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That was so